Great to have you with us here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio, and welcome to another edition of Garden Talk. You know, sometimes we take the really hardy plants for granted, the ones that really don't put many demands on us. They bloom in the sun and shade and sometimes in hot or cool weather. Daylilies, I think, are a wonderful addition to the landscape, and I think they're pretty forgiving of the gardener. So happy to have a couple of guests today with us that are passionate about daylilies, eager to share what they know with us. Rosemary Kleinites, chair of the Wisconsin Daylily Society's upcoming sale and an experienced daylily grower. And Rosemary, great to have you back with us.
Thank you. It's a pleasure.
And Lloyd Rave, a valuable member of the Wisconsin Daylily Society. He's also a daylily hybridizer and hybridizes other flowers as well, do you not?
Yes, I hybridize with peonies and irises of different species also.
So we're zeroing in on daylilies today a bit with you, and I hope you'll join in with your own questions or comments. Do you have daylilies in your landscape? What are your favorite varieties? Any problems with them? Want to know about anything really connected with them, moving them or dividing them? Certainly, they can answer those questions. Give us a call at 1-800-642-1234. You can email us at talk@wpr.org or a post on our Facebook page at The Larry Mehler Show. We'd certainly love to hear from you. And you know what? Let's start with some basics. What does the term daylily refer to exactly?
The real name of the plant is Hemera callis, which means beauty for a day, and hence the name daylily came from that.
But they last longer than a day.
No, each flower lasts a day.
Yeah.
That's the trick. But what you really like is good branching and bud counts so that you end up with flowers for a long period of time. So on one scape, if it has a bud count of 5, that's not going to give you a lot of bloom time. But if you have a bud count of 40 on a scape, or if you have rebloom, you have a longer bloom time.
But each flower is only lasting for one day.
That's correct. There's some that are nocturnal that will bloom. They'll start blooming maybe at 8 or 9 o'clock the previous evening and be in bloom all night long. Those are nocturnal daylilies. But the flower itself will die at the end of the day.
Are the orange ones that we see everywhere, and we'll just bring that up right now, are they really daylilies? We call them daylilies. What, Rosemary?
Yes, they are. They are actually a species daylily that goes way back, way, way back. In fact, we call them ditch lilies because the European settlers that came over used them as packing material.
Oh.
And then when they unpacked their boxes, they dumped the roots in the ditch. That's the story that I've had.
Heard. Oh.
And,
interesting. You do see them.
And they are. They're all over in the ditches.
All over the place. And I mean, some that just sort of popped up, it seemed, along my fence line in my backyard. And they were coming up, and I thought, wonder where those came from. So I thought, oh, let me just wait and see what they are. I could certainly look like lilies, and
I can add to that too. The ditch lily, especially Quanzo, the double, is a very beautiful flower, but it has no place in the perennial border. If you really want to grow it, it's best to plant it probably in a ditch or by a mailbox or somewhere where it's not going to be around any other daylilies or other perennials.
Why is that?
It doesn't play well with its friends. It's stoloniferous. It grows like a snake underground, and it'll come up in other daylilies, in peonies, in phlox, any other plant you have in the garden. And so, you know, like they say that kids don't play well with others. That's a plant that does not play well with others and belongs. If you do want to grow it separately where it will not interfere either between your sidewalk and the street or by mailbox or a ditch somewhere away from your perennial border.
You know, I think we have a fence, a tall fence along that side of the property, and I think it came up from the other side. I've never really taken a close look at that other side of the fence. And, you know, sure enough, I wanted to see the flower come, and it was the orange one, and I assumed it would be because they're so hardy. Daylilies in general are pretty hardy, though, aren't they?
Extremely so. They're so easy to grow. They need moisture. They need good soil and sunshine. And they just don't take a lot of work.
Well, we have callers online with questions for you, and let's go to the phones. You can join in. We still have one open line at 1-800-642-1234. Let's turn to Bill and Racine first. Hi, Bill. Thank you for calling.
Hi. Thanks again for taking the call. Anyways, I've got daylilies. They're mostly the yellow variety, and they're very close together, and they have weeds in them. Someone neglected them or whatever. So what I wanted to do was dig them up and get these weeds out of there and then space them correctly. Any tips? I don't want to destroy them. Of course, you said they're pretty hardy, but
yeah.
I don't like it when there are weeds in these.
Yeah, okay. Good question.
You've got a great idea, too. That was my thought as I was hearing the question, was dig everything out and separate. Make sure you get all of the weeds out of the roots of the daylilies, and then get all the weeds out of the garden, and then replant the daylilies. And they will continue to do well for you, but it's almost impossible to get rid of the weeds if they're inside, entwined in the roots.
But. Yeah, and you can, and Lloyd, you go ahead and you add something,
yeah,
too.
And an even better idea is to come back to our sale this weekend on Saturday and Sunday,
that's right,
because then you can get new varieties. And I love yellow daylilies. I won't run them down, because when you drive down the street from my house, I have some yellow ones that you can see from a half a block away. So
yeah.
Yellow is an excellent color for daylilies. But there's also a lot of other colors to enjoy, the purples, the reds, the oranges. And by oranges, I don't mean the ditch lily. There are oranges now that look more like Orange Crush Pop.
I've got some of those.
Or some of them like Blazing Lampsticks, which is just a bright, bright orange, and that will be at the sale this weekend.
How much spacing do you need between the plants once I do replant?
From center to center, if you're gonna move them every 3 to 4 years, I would say at least a foot to 18 inches, and then and then mulch in between, and then you won't have your weed problem.
Okay.
Sounds good.
And I would, when we plant them, we actually plant them 24 inches apart, because we want them to grow and we want to be able to see them in between, see the individual ones. But then we've got lots of them.
Yeah. How many have you got, Rosemary?
250. And if we want to add a new one, we got to take one out.
Well, what about you, Lloyd?
We have a much smaller yard than Rosemary, and I grow about 400. And so, consequently, I have much smaller clumps. They're planted much closer together. And I just like the variety.
Yeah.
So every gardener has their own technique, and Rosemary has the most beautiful garden that you'd want to see. The way they have it designed, the spacing, and how good the clumps grow and everything. When you crowd them like I do, they will not perform as well. But I still enjoy the way I garden, and every individual has their own way of doing their garden.
That's exactly right.
And this morning, I had a photo on my telephone, and I thought, you know what, I got to put that up. So I've got a photo of some of the daylilies that are right in my front yard. Essentially, I don't really have a front yard. It's you know, there's sidewalk and maybe 10 feet between the sidewalk and the porch. But they're pretty much all daylilies in that area, mostly. So if you want to see my daylilies, you can go to the Larry Mueller Show Facebook page and click on, right in the middle, there's a photo of it, and click in the middle, click on it, and you'll get a larger version. And there's a few different colors in there, Lloyd.
there again, what jumps out at you is the yellow.
Yeah.
Your yellows have red in the center, which makes them even more attractive. But there again, yellow is a color that jumps out. And a lot of people kind of, just like the ditch lilies, a lot of people turn their nose up at yellow daylilies. But if you're going to have a garden with several varieties, you do want to include yellow.
And there's unfortunately, you can't. There's a whole other batch along here. I didn't get a very good picture, but that's all I had to put in. But I think there's a half dozen or eight types in that photo anyway. So.
And didn't you say that you just took that picture? So that's
it's not
at the end of the bloom season.
Yeah, it was about a week ago. So. Yeah. When I took that. So, yeah, I think it's pretty nice. So, anyway, go to the Larry Mueller Show Facebook page. That's the title of our page. And right on the middle is the photo of some daylilies. And there's some other flowers, too, that are mine, sort of in the background that you'll see as well from my sort of little flower garden there right in the front. But those daylilies, by the way, I purchased them all at the flower sale, and we'll talk a little more about the flower sale. This was probably 3 years ago, wasn't it? Somewhere four years ago. So, take a look at that photo. Tom in Barnes, Wisconsin. It is your turn. Hi, Tom. Thanks for calling.
Yeah, happy to be here and love your show. I had a decade or so ago down in La Crosse, had a garden, and it just happened when I got to move there, it had a variegated leaf daylily with white stripes going down the entire length of the leaf. And when I moved, I asked the landlord if I could take some of it, and he said, yeah, I'm tearing up the whole garden, take it all. And I got it distributed to some folk in Eau Claire and a master gardener up in Duluth. And I'm wondering how common variegated leaf daylily would be.
Variegated leaf.
I own a home down in Barnes, and I'm wondering if it's deer-proof, and when is the best time to transplant such plants?
Yeah, there's a couple of deer in the Barnes area, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes,
Yeah. Oh, well.
Family in my yard.
Yeah. Lloyd, what about it?
Well, I'll try and help you out there. What you probably have is a variegated Quanzo. It's a double orange, and it's a beautiful flower. And another thing that's even unique about it is the stems a lot of times will be white on one side and green on the other, or have white stripes on the scape where the flowers would be. In fact, a branch on one side may be pure white, but the flowers, whether it's a pure white branch or a pure green branch, will be the same flowers no matter what side of the plant it grows on. And if I'm right about it being Quanzo, that is one that we've had at our sale also. It might even be from the same stock that you had there in La Crosse. And a few of our members do grow that one.
So, go ahead.
But it's not common. I think that's the only one. And
that's why you were pretty sure about what it was.
Yeah, as a hybridizer, I've had variegated plants start, and I've had some of them when you're doing hybridizing, you'll get some that are totally white. And as soon as the nutrient from that seed disappears, you have a dead plant.
Oh, goodness.
So they are quite rare. And as far as other than Quanzo, I don't even know of any in the marketplace because most of the hybridizers, when they see white, they get rid of it.
Yeah,
we go. Quanzo is a healthy plant as a variegated plant. And sometimes it will revert back to the total green from the plant. So if you grow it, you have to probably dig it up every couple of years, separate the ones that do have the variegation, and throw away the ones that are totally green if variegation is what you're looking for.
There we go. Thanks a lot, Tom.
And he had a question, too, about when is a good time to divide them and plant them. We end up doing ours right now because this is a good time to dig them, divide them, and plant them again because now they still have a couple of months to set good roots. develop mm-hmm. good leaves and get through the winter. Hybridizers dig them all summer long and mail them out if they're selling them. Spring is a good time to do it,
yeah, spring is probably the preferred often, but actually in our climate, I bought those daylilies
in the middle of
August from your sale 4 years ago. I planted them that weekend, and I have not lost. I think I had upwards of 50 plants, 40 at least, and I didn't lose a single one. So,
and bloom is generally determined in the fall. So when you whether you plant it in the spring or the fall is the time when your bloom is determined for the following year, not in the springtime.
Okay.
You know, if you plant a plant in the spring and you get good rain, it'll still bloom for you, but that bloom is actually determined in the fall. And that's why if you get plants from a southern climate, that first year sometimes they will bloom 2 and 3 times, but that's... other years they might only bloom twice or once.
Interesting. Very interesting. Talking, and thanks again for calling, Tom. Appreciate it. Talking about daylilies today with a couple of members from the Wisconsin Daylily Society. They've got their sale Saturday and Sunday this weekend. It's great, and we'll talk some more about the specifics of it. You can join in with your questions. Give us a call at 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@wpr.org or post on our Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. And if you want to see my daylilies, go to The Larry Mueller Show Facebook page. And you don't have to be a member of Facebook to view it. And you'll see at least a few of the daylilies that I have at my home. I'm Larry Mueller. Brandy Funk, our on-air producer here on Garden Talk on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Thanks so much for joining us today for this edition of Garden Talk, visiting with Rosemary Kleinheinz and Lloyd Revay. They are both members of the Wisconsin Daylily Society. Their annual sale in Madison this weekend, Saturday and Sunday. So it's great to have them here. We'll talk about the sale, the timing, and so forth of it, and certainly answer your questions and comments. Before we do that, I just want to go to Kevin in Dubuque, Iowa. Kevin, hi. Thank you for calling.
Yeah, hey, I've got an embankment probably 10 feet, just about straight up and down with the orange ditch lilies there. It's right on the public right-of-way.
Yep.
And, it goes for a couple hundred feet, and it looks great. It just starts coming in really nice. And then I think it's called a vineweed, and I got the heart-shaped flower. Just starts getting in there and just starts choking everything out, just like a carpet on top of it. And
so is it? Yeah, is there
a fix to get rid of that herbicide that I can spray on top of that stuff to get rid of that vine weed? Or
I don't think there is. Unless you want to kill the daylilies too.
Yeah, that's what I'm. Like you said, I know they're hardy and everything. Like, well, maybe there's something out there that I could.
And I'm not sure that is this a tall plant weed or is it a one that grows right next to the ground?
It grows. It's kind of like a ground cover. Yeah, it's just kind of a sprawling. It's almost like a. It's got a white flower. It's almost like a morning glory or something. It looks like that the flower does. I think it's called vineweed. I don't know.
Yeah, there is a wild morning glory that would have flowers like that too. And outside of just pulling it out,
it's easy
to pull out. When you leave it get big, it's more of a wrestling match.
Yes, and that's kind of usually what happens. I usually don't get to it till.
Is it steep? So if you pull and then go ahead and put in some mulch, it can certainly help a lot. But
yeah,
we're talking about a lot of work.
We're talking about a lot of weeds. We'll come back.
Well, yeah. There may be. I don't think we got much. You know the way to do it is, unfortunately, the way we were talking about earlier, which is to dig them up, dig up your daylilies, then go ahead and get rid of the weeds, and then replant the daylilies. But, you know, that's how you do it, but that's a lot of work, too. It's a lot of work.
Round up the whole thing and plant it with new daylilies.
Yeah, that's the other way to do it, mm-hmm. Is to just eliminate everything that's there and then start all over again with new daylilies.
And new daylilies will grow on a steep incline also. We have some members, one of our members is on the Wisconsin River, and her garden is all up and down, and she has all modern variety daylilies on that very steep hillside.
Wow. All right. Well, there you go, Kevin. Wish we had better news for you, but that's the news we've got. Let's talk about Lori and Ann. We'll get to you in just a minute. Lori in Green Bay, Ann in Janesville. A line for you. Give us a call at 800-642-1234. And now, Saturday and Sunday, here we've got this Saturday, today, and this weekend. And Saturday, what time is your first where? It's at a really cool place.
Olbrich Gardens. And there's a huge tent, 100 feet by 60 feet, in the parking lot of Olbrich Gardens.
Yeah.
It's from 10 to 4 on Saturday,
mm-hmm.
and 11 to 3 on Sunday.
10 to 4 on Saturday and 11 to 3 on Sunday at Olbrich Botanical Gardens. And you know what? If you're coming from a ways away, I hope you'll come and allow some time to spend a little time at Olbrich Gardens as well, because their gardens look gorgeous. I don't know if you've been over lately to take a look.
They're
beautiful. So you'd come and buy some daylilies and then take a look and do a little tour of the Olbrich Gardens. You got yourself a nice day there.
Oh, and bring a car full of people.
Rosemary's selling here for us. Yeah, reasonable prices and some really cool, really, I couldn't imagine, how many varieties would you have at the sale? I mean, it's got to be hundreds.
We're just about 800 this year.
Yeah.
Different cultivars.
And the thing that I really liked about it was, you know, you have photos. Mm-hmm. I think every single one of them, there was a color.
If we don't have a photo, it won't be out there because it won't sell.
Yeah.
You got to see what it's going to look like.
Yeah, and so you've got these nice, bright, colored photos of the lilies, which I don't think I'd have bought one if I couldn't see what it was. I wouldn't have really wanted it. Mm-hmm. Now, I did. And I don't know if we can see it in my photo. Man, I don't think you can. One of the sizes, the heights in that are so different. And there was one that, you know what, I just for fun, I bought a couple that were advertised as growing very tall. And I do have I might have a photo of myself with my daughter standing next to them. Again, these were yellow, but they were 6.5. A good 6.5 feet tall.
You might have had Sears Tower.
I'll tell you what, I'll be digging it. I'll dig it out at one of our breaks, and I'll see if I can post it up on our Facebook page, and I'll show it to you guys. I'm sure we'll be able to tell.
Another one that's 6 feet tall would be Notify Ground Crew, and we also have a lot of them that are in the 48 to 54 inch. There isn't that many of them that grow to 72 inches or more.
I mean, this one's over my head. I'm about 5'10" and a half.
Mm-hmm.
And if you ever get out to Allen Centennial Garden in the daylily display, by the way, these, all of their, I'll talk about that later, but they have a plant, daylily, called Autumn Minaret. And when you look up that plant on the internet, you'll see it in front of Allen Centennial Gardens, the old house that's there. And that's an old one. It blooms, it starts just about a week ago, and it just keeps blooming and blooming. It's very late, very tall, yellow, not a phenomenal, dramatic plant flower, but it's a dramatic impression.
Well, And Allen Centennial Gardens. There's the other part of this puzzle. If you come to the sale, you can go to the Olbrich Gardens, and 3-4 miles away is the Allen Centennial Gardens, which are another beautiful gardens to take a look at, and then you could see the daylily right there. Yeah,
another tall yellow one. And here's the thing: a lot of people enjoy the names of daylilies.
Yeah.
And I have a tall yellow one that in my front yard, you can see it half a block away from our house. It's called Bazinga. And I had to buy it because of the name. Oh. My wife is a fanatic about watching The Big Bang Theory.
Oh, it's a funny.
I also have a daylily called Big Bang Theory, and this year as our guest plant, which is another topic, but we got a guest plant called Schrodinger's Cat, and if you've ever watched the program, you'll know that that's one of Sheldon's favorite stories, is talking about the cat in the box, whether it's alive or dead. And so it's, you can have theme gardens, and a lot of them are named after Star Trek, like there's Vulcan Logic and different all kinds of space theme things.
Really,
if you're a mystery reader, there's series of that. And if you're an artist, there's all kinds of artist names. So even the names can be fascinating, besides the beautiful flowers.
In fact, Spock's ear is going to be there as
Spock's
a sale
ear.
This year. Yeah.
Bazinga sounds like a lot of fun, too. Well, here I'm going to show you guys a photo of my tall daylily. You may or may not be able to tell from that, but it's a yellow. It's a yellow flower. Where do you think?
I think it's Notify Ground Crew.
Notify Ground Crew. Okay. Yeah. Well, I'll post that up when I get a chance. I'll post that up on our Facebook page, and you'll have a chance to take a look at that one too. It's over 6 feet tall, and it's a shot of Emily, daughter Emily, and I standing next to the
And
fence.
The hybridizers, what they had in mind in developing that plant was planting it in front of a tall office building to make a statement, where the short flowers that you usually see, the Stella Diora, would not make a statement. Mm-hmm. This one makes a statement from a distance.
Yeah, it does indeed. Lori in Green Bay, we'll turn to you next. Lori, hi. Thank you for calling.
Hi. I just wanted to comment. About 15 years ago, I used to work as a gardener, and one morning I was just plucking off the dead flowers from some daylilies, and I was breaking them off at where it comes up on the stalk, and one was all folded up, and was snipping that off, and out squirts a tree frog, hits my chest, jumps on the ground, and hopped away. And every morning, I would check to make sure that there weren't any of those little guys in there. And I would find, like, three or four in these daylilies. And it's like they would go in the night, I guess, and just hang out there. And I guess they would get pretty wet, the flowers themselves, after they die. So I guess that's why they liked them.
That is very cool.
Yeah, we can speculate on that a little bit. One of the things is, daylilies, a majority of them, in fact, what sets off the really beautiful colors is they have a deep green throat. Now, that almost matches the color of the tree frog. And so they it's almost like you don't notice that they're there. And another thing is, what an ideal spot for them to catch bugs, which would be the pollinators.
Yeah.
And so they probably
sure.
have a very easy time catching bugs there. And in the garden I have in the country where I grow my seedlings, there is a lot of tree frogs out there. In town, I see them occasionally, but it depends on the area you're in, how many tree frogs you're going to see in your daylilies. But they definitely love them, and that's another interest to taking pictures of daylilies, and you know, the insects and the frogs that would be in the flowers.
Yeah.
In fact, when we have photo contests, and if there's a picture of a frog in the daylily, that almost always wins.
So there you go, Lori.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate it. Open line for you at 800-642-1234. Give a call. Ann in Janesville next, then Mary in Toma, but let's go to Ann now. Hi, Ann.
Oh, hi there. I was listening, and I was so interested in the description of the ditch lilies because I thought that was absolutely fascinating. And a number of years ago, I was given some what were described to me as lovely, orange, ruffly daylilies, and so I thought, oh, those can't be the ditch lilies. So I planted them. And what has happened is they have just invaded everything that I had in a perennial bed.
Yeah,
and so I'm wondering if that fact they were the ditch lilies, or are other daylilies also pretty invasive?
No, The daylilies that we have at the sale, and we'll have over 800 varieties there, none of those will be invasive. They all grow in, if you plant them, they grow almost in a perfect circle, which will get a little larger each year, and the ideal time is to divide is after about 4 to 5 years, anywhere from 3 to 5 years of growing. And with the spacing we have, depending on whether you go with Rosemary's 24 inches or my 12 inches,
right,
your dividing time will be different. But they are not invasive, any of the plants that we sell. But the invasive one you're talking about is what we're talking about as the ditch lily.
Okay, so what I have been doing is I have been just digging and throwing away and digging and throwing away. And the other problem that I have had with daylilies, and maybe there are some that are deer resistant, but especially with these orange ones, the deer nibble all the greens in the spring, of course, when they first come up, and then they also nip the blossoms off. So are there any daylilies that are more deer resistant?
Not that we've found.
No.
That
okay.
isn't that deer is the nemesis for any hybridizer. In fact, they get so frustrated when
right.
deer go out and eat all their buds before they've had a chance to see what they're going to look like. They're using 6-8 foot electric fences because it just.
Oh, okay.
It's
well,
really
I'm
hard to keep
that
them
in my yard.
There are some hot things you can put on.
The other question I have then is, you know, they're not easy to dig. But I'm doing my best to dig them. But would you have another recommendation then? Because I guess while I was on hold and I was hooking up my cell phone, you're suggesting that maybe Roundup is a good way to kill off. But you still have to dig the tubers, right?
No, you don't. Not till they're all dead.
Okay.
Unless you want to keep, if you're keeping them, then yeah, you got to dig them out before you round it up. But if you're wanting to clean out that bed completely. Mm-hmm. If you dig ditch lilies, you will leave roots behind, and come back. So,
all right.
Again, about the only way to really clean it out, clear it out altogether, is to round it up.
Hmm.
Now, another thing, when you're digging lilies, not the ditch lilies, the regular lilies, when you're digging them, we always dig with a garden fork, because if you dig with a shovel, you're going to cut the roots off. And you're going to leave roots behind that will come back. Not the ones you want to come back because you tried to take them out, but they will come back. So pull them out, lift them out with a garden fork.
There we go.
Okay.
Thanks.
Well, I guess what I need to do is try to save some of the other perennials I have in that area then, and then just go in and round it up, as you said.
If you want to get rid of that, yeah.
Yeah, there you go. Thanks very much, Ann, for calling. I appreciate your call. Again, you can join us at 800-642-1234. And now on to Mary in Toma. Hi, Mary.
Well, hi, Larry. I have ditch lilies. We have a 100-year-old schoolhouse that we live in, and I don't mind them at all. What I'm trying to do, though, is put some ornamentals in between them, you know, different shades of orange. Do I have to dig up like a 2-foot circle and, you know, as they said, fork them up and get rid of those and then plant the ornamentals? In other words, will the ornamentals be able to defend themselves?
Well, if I were going to do something like that, I would probably put in the orange, like the tiger lilies, which are true lilies, not day lilies.
Okay.
That's something that, because those are just as invasive as the ditch lily, day lily. And they
wouldn't stand a chance then.
Yeah, and they have seeds along the stem, so you're almost like fighting one invasive with another.
Oh, okay. Well, that's a good recommendation. And then with the lilies, after they've bloomed, you end up with those dead stalks and the leaves get a little brown on the edges and whatever. Am I doing any damage by going by with a hedge trimmer and trimming up the leaves and pulling those stalks out?
Pulling the dead leaves off and pulling the stalks off. In fact, preventing them to seed. If you have the ditch lily, they probably aren't seeding anyways. Ditch lilies are a sterile plant. They're triploids, so they're a sterile plant.
Okay. Well, thank you very much.
And you
much.
Know, yeah. There's another thing too. If you take off all the tops between now and frost, it will develop a totally new green. All new green leaves will come up from the center, and you'll have a nice new plant again. So you aren't going to hurt it by cutting them back.
There you go.
They'll look better then. Okay, thank you so much.
They do look better. Yes.
Thanks, Mary. Thanks for calling. Appreciate it. And Mary in Stoughton, you're next. Hi, Mary.
Hi. My question is, what to do, I kind of guess what Mary's previous caller asked, how to take care of them post-bloom. I like to cut the stalk down, but how about the leaves? Can I cut those back and make them more tidy, or am I damaging the plant doing that?
I typically pull all the brown leaves off, and by September, they're almost all brown. They're going to lose all those original leaves, and the new ones are going to come up. So you can cut them back, you can pull them back, but the new ones will come back. The new leaves will come out.
And even then, the new ones, you can cut down, like in October, the end of October, right down to the ground, so that next spring you don't have all this dead foliage still on the ground.
Perfect. Thank you so much.
Thanks so much for calling. Appreciate your call. And David in Door County. Hi, thank you for calling.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Sure. What can we do for you?
Well, I have, we live on the lake, on Lake Michigan. We have a lot of daylilies. They do really well, and they're gorgeous, mostly yellow and orange, but some of them are about 5 years old now, and they're not as prolific. The leaves are thinner. They're getting, they need separating, dividing. I'm not sure how much to divide them, and then if I'm going to replant them, do I just plant a couple fans, or do I replant half the plant?
Probably when you replant, it should be in clumps of 2 to 4 fans in each planting, so that they have room to grow, and that'll give you another window of 4 to 5 years before you have to divide them again.
Right. So if I plant 2 to 4 fans and then those clumps 20, 24 inches apart, that should be a good plan?
Yes, and that should give plenty of room, and then you can mulch in between to make sure you don't have a lot of weeding to do. And daylilies can take pretty deep mulch and grow up through it, so you could put several inches of mulch so that you don't want to spend too much time weeding.
Right.
Be sure you water them well when you replant them too.
Okay. Very good. Thank you.
Thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate your call. Talking today about daylilies with our two guests, Rosemary Kleinhines, who is co-chair of the Wisconsin Daylily Society's upcoming sale. That's Saturday and Sunday, so it's right here. She's an experienced daylily grower. Lloyd Revay, a valuable member in the Wisconsin Daylily Society and also a daylily hybridizer. I'm Larry Mueller for Garden Talk here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Thanks for joining us on the Ideas Network for this edition of Garden Talk. We're visiting about daylilies with our two guests, Rosemary Kleinhines and Lloyd Revay of the Wisconsin Daylily Society. They know a lot about daylilies. And certainly, if you have questions, I hope you'll join in. The number to call, 1-800-642-1234. You can email us at talk@wpr.org or post on our Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. We'd certainly love to hear from you. You know, one of the things that I do, when I walk by and there's a daylily that's a flower that's just sort of hanging on, it's dead and it's hanging on, I just pull it off.
Absolutely. We do it every day.
You do it every day? Does it make any difference in terms of flowering? Lloyd,
the only thing is, if you're a hybridizer, there's a way to take the flower off and still leave the ovaries there so that you don't break those off. Because when you snap them, you're going to snap the ovaries off. But other than that, you don't want seeds to develop on the plant. So for the average person, just snap it off. You can do it with your fingers. It's very easy.
Falls right off.
And daylilies look so much better with the dead flowers off.
I think so, too. Actually, I don't know if I should tell this or not, but as I every morning I do my jog through the neighborhood. It's about 3 miles, and as I go by the daylilies on the various parts, if I see one that's dead, I just knock it off as I'm going by, because I always think it looks better. And I hope I'm not being... I hope I'm not doing something that's mean-spirited. I think it looks better.
If there's no hybridizing tag on it,
no.
I'm sure you're fine.
Okay. Well, I have some more questions, but let's talk a little bit more, Rosemary. Again, let's go through Saturday and Sunday. What are the specifics here? Olbrich
Botanical Garden, parking lot, a great big tent, and from 10 to 4 on Saturday and 11 to 3 on Sunday.
So there you go, 10 to 4 on Saturday, 11 to 3 on Sunday, and of course, it's a huge parking lot, which is really nice, and you can't miss that tent.
And the tent is huge, and it's in the back of the back parking lot, so yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. You were going to add something there.
Yeah, one of the things I like to do is if people have questions about daylilies, there's several of us there that walk up and down the aisles and ask people, sometimes to a point of bothering them. But they usually will tell us if they don't need any help. But there's several of us there that are willing to help if you have questions on selecting, because daylilies go from a couple of inches up to, as we talked about before, over 6 feet tall. The flowers also are different sizes from being an inch to being up to 14 inches across. So depending on what your needs are and what your wants are for your garden, because everybody has different interests, we will try and match you with what you want. And if you want doubles, singles, spidery ones, unusual forms, large, small, you just let some of the helpers there. And most of us have daylily shirts on, and we're always happy to help you spend your money.
Okay, there you go. Well, a couple of different terms have come up that I heard you talk about. You mentioned tetraploid and diploid. What are those? How do those? What's the difference between a diploid and a tetraploid daylily?
To the average gardener, you could care less. What you want is a pretty flower. The only way that would be a difference to you is if you're a hybridizer, because when you're breeding plants, you want to cross tetraploids, which are double the chromosomes with other tetraploids, versus the diploids, which is the standard. And when we talk about the ditch lily, that's an unusual one, because that's actually a triploid, which means it's a sterile plant.
So all triploids are sterile plants?
Basically, or they're very, very difficult to breed with. There is possibilities if you do a 1,000 crosses, you might get a couple of seed pods.
Oh,
and the other difference between the diploids and the tetraploids is the thickness of the petals. They're mm-hmm. a heavier petal. The diploids are thinner. The tetraploid plants are bigger. They're big honking things.
Yeah.
And the diploids are many times much smaller, thinner plants, thinner leaves.
Very interesting. And there's also the flower forms, because you've got a bunch of different forms. I mean, there's single and there's double, but there's what
like
is it?
Spiders,
something
called
spiders,
for example.
Is an example.
Yeah, to be a spider, a true spider, it has to be, I think, 5-to-1 ratio, which means it has to be 5 times longer than it is wide. And an unusual form, it could be like 4-to-1 or something. So they're different size petals. And really, if you want something that's light and airy and floats in the wind, that's where a diploid might be a favorite plant over a tetraploid, because they actually kind of float in the wind like butterflies or something when the wind blows. Where a tetraploid, you can get the narrow petals, but they might be stiffer.
So now the spider, does it sort of appear like a spider in a way, or is that why it's called a spider?
Yeah, they're long and narrow leaves, so that they kind of flutter in the wind more. It gives another feature to your garden where the petals will actually float a little more versus being stiff.
We have some more questions. Rich from Rhinelander called and wonders if daylilies will thrive under black walnut trees, and Mary emailed and also had a walnut tree daylily question as well. So what about that?
Well, what I would do is do raised beds. Walnuts are poisonous to most plants, and I've seen people grow daylilies under walnut trees without being raised beds, and they have bloomed. But to have a better performance, I would say to have raised beds so that you're getting the ground that you're using for the daylily above the root system level.
Makes sense. We had another comment from Margie from Milwaukee. For the vine weeds, she says, don't pull them. Her way of dealing with them is she balls them up and puts them in a plastic bag. She doesn't pull them. She just puts them in a plastic bag, and then she puts Roundup in the bag, and then that way the Roundup's inside the bag.
That's an excellent idea.
With the weed, and you're not getting it all over the place. And
that's brilliant. I have to try that.
That's a really good idea. Jeff from Dorchester, Iowa, says that ditch daylilies are edible, and he says delicious. The flowers and the buds uses them in salads especially, and the tubers are like jicama, which I love jicama. Have you ever eaten those ditch lilies?
I've eaten the petals of daylilies, and to be honest with you, the yellows probably taste more like lettuce than the reds and purples. So I found those more pleasing to the taste than some of the more colored ones. I haven't eaten the roots, but there are actually cookbooks on daylily cookbooks that are in the marketplace that you can have all kinds of recipes for, not only salads but other types of meals you can make out of daylilies.
Well, those daylilies, those orange ones, the ditch ones, if their tubers are like jicama, I love jicama. Jicama reminds me of fresh peas. Has a taste like peas. And I love fresh peas, so
Larry, you have to try it and let us know.
I might have to try it on that orange one that's growing right along the fence line. I'll dig that up and try it out and see what that root is like.
And just like with squash, I believe you eat the buds on squash. On daylilies, there's recipes for cooking the buds. So not only you can use the open flowers in salads, the buds can be used in like sautéed or something. But I'm not a cook, so
I love to do that. So I'm going to give that a try. Lynn up next from Pleasant Lake, Coloma.
Yes, we're near Coloma, Westfield, Coloma in Washira County, and luckily, we planted all of our daylilies near the house, so the deer don't come near the house. But the ditch ones, you know, I'm like, well, that's free game for them.
Yeah.
But I may have missed it. I was watching a granddaughter and was having trouble listening. But now all those little seed thingies are sticking up at the top now. Can I just cut all those off and let the nutrients go back into the root? Is that the idea?
Yes.
So those little round things, they're little bulbs, they look like almost, don't they?
Yeah, they're seed pods. And if you're not going to grow the seeds, the best thing is to break them off before they even grow into seed pods. And what will happen is the stem will stay green when those seed pods are on there. And what's happening is the plant is putting all its energy into creating those seeds. So as soon as the flower is done, if you break them off, you won't have seed pods. And then when the last flower blooms, that stem will turn brown starting from the top going down. And by the time it's brown at the bottom, it's usually quite easy to just pull the whole stem off. Or if it's unsightly,
yeah,
you just cut the top
the
off.
Spring to pull that off. And so that's what I'm, because it gives me a marker as to where they were.
Yeah.
Not a problem.
Not a problem.
Okay, but now how do I plant those if I want to plant the seed pods?
Seeds is another thing. I personally wouldn't plant a seed unless I actually made the cross myself, because I want to have an idea what I'm creating.
You got one part of the half of the equation, but you don't know what the other half is.
Exactly. And sometimes bee crosses will give you beautiful flowers too, but then it's like only knowing one of the parents, and it's more interesting as a plant breeder to know both of the parents.
Well, and Larry has talked about this before, where people try to save vegetable seeds and they end up with nothing near the same as the vegetable.
Exactly.
I think I will just cut those off.
Do that. Do that, Lynn.
Yeah, seeds are like children. If you have 40 seeds in a pod, there are going to be 40 different plants. Yeah. And some of them will be very similar, and if you're lucky, one of them might be better than the parent. But in most cases, you're lucky to get one better than the parent out of a seed pod of 40. And you improve your chances greatly if you know both parents and you've done the cross yourself, because then you know the genetics going into your cross.
And thanks for calling. And if you purchase the daylilies at the sale, how quickly do you need to plant them? Joan wondered.
As soon as possible.
Yeah, I mean, can you go a day?
Yes. You can go a week or so. If we can't get them in the ground right away, we put them in pots.
Best to get them in the ground right away, but probably up to a week or so.
Yes, that's right.
Talking with Rosemary Kleinheinz, co-chair of the Wisconsin Daylily Society, and Lloyd Revay, valuable member of the Daylily Society and also a hybridizer, here on Garden Talk on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Thanks so much for joining us on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Larry Mueller here talking about flowers and zeroing in on daylilies on this edition of Garden Talk with our two guests, Rosemary Kleinheinz, who is co-chair of the Wisconsin Daylily Society, and their sale coming up right now. She's an experienced daylily grower. And Rosemary, again, great to have you with us. Thank you so much.
Thank you. It's always a pleasure.
Lloyd Revay is a valuable member of the Daylily Society of Wisconsin. He's a hybridizer as well. And thank you as well for coming, Lloyd.
It's been a blast.
we're having a good time here. And certainly, if you have questions about the sale is this weekend. So it's tomorrow and Sunday from 10 to 4 and from 11 to 3 at Olbrich Gardens. And Olbrich Gardens... Tom on Facebook wanted me to mention, or Bill on Facebook wanted me to mention that the Olbrich Gardens are, of course, located on Madison's east side, right across from Lake Monona. And if Olbrich itself is spelled O-L-B-R-I-C-H, Olbrich Garden, and we probably have a link to it on our Facebook page as well, but pretty easy for you to find the gardens itself. And I'd visit the gardens, but I'd also, while you're there, then you've got the tents and about 800 varieties of daylilies that you can purchase. The tents set up right in the Olbrich Gardens parking lot, or sort of at the end of the parking lot, really. So it's out of the way, but you can, when you pull in the parking lot, you're going to see the tent. Believe me, it's a great big tent. So again, you can join in. Questions or comments? Do you have daylilies in your garden? What are your favorite varieties? Any questions about growing them or dividing them or moving them around? Love to hear from you. Again, the number to call, 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@wpr.org or post on our Facebook page. And again, you can go to our Facebook page, The Larry Mueller Show. And by the way, I posted a picture of myself and daughter Emily with our 6-foot-tall daylilies that you guys are identifying, you think, as what?
Notify Ground Crew.
Notify Ground Crew. They're really pretty. They're a nice yellow, a bright yellow, and they really stand out. I just planted them on kind of on a lark, but really, it's one of those that people stop and say, "Where did you get that?" Really pretty cool. And Rosemary, as we speak, there are a lot of people that are working over at Olbrich Gardens in the parking lot. Is setting up, aren't they?
They are working very hard. We started at 8 this morning. We will go till we're done. In fact, we started yesterday at 10 o'clock, dividing, bagging, labeling daylilies, getting them ready for the sale. There's probably, by the time the weekend is over, we will have had more than 100 volunteers working extremely hard to get this done.
Well, I you brought along some photos, which were great. We posted those also on our Facebook page. So if you want to kind of see the work that was, that the Wisconsin Daylily Society is doing, go to our Facebook page again. You can see the photos that I posted of my daylilies, or at least some of mine, and another photo of Emily and I with our six-footer, and then also the ones that Rosemary took or had brought along with her that show getting ready for the sale that starts tomorrow at 10 o'clock. Be there or be square, I guess.
And on the top right picture, that's me.
Oh, yeah, there you are.
With just some of the clumps that we're dividing. And by the way, there's usually 6,000 plants or more for sale. 800 varieties, but 6,000 plants or more, and they are all donated by our members.
Wow! So that's how that's your for keeping your business, or not your business, but your organization going. This is the big fundraiser for you.
It's a big fundraiser, right? And it helps us keep our gardens in order. And each of those bags holds one big clump that we were digging someplace this week.
This week.
Mm-hmm. And then the bottom underneath that picture is a picture of Lloyd dividing daylilies.
And Lloyd, I got to believe it was 4 years ago that it was you who I walked around with on Sunday, and you, I asked questions and you were giving me good answers and said, oh, come on over here if you're interested in that kind of thing, and showed me, really gave me a lot of help.
Right. I enjoy helping and spending other people's money. And hopefully, you know, if you work with one of the members, if you don't have your want list already with you, we can, you know, there's several of us there that would be glad to help you pick exactly what you want for your garden, because everybody has different preferences on how they want a garden and what type of plants, what colors, and fragrances, and there's so many different things about the flowers that...
The fragrances, someone asked about fragrances, wanting some really, something nice and fragrant. And actually, it was Deborah from Brown Deer wanted to know the type of daylily. It's yellow and has a sweet scent.
Okay.
Likely that is what?
Yellow in general is a better color for good fragrance. A lot of the Brother Charles introductions that we've had for sale at the show, and on our label itself, when you buy a plant at the sale, it not only has the name, but it tells you how big the flower is, how tall it should grow, what it's been registered at. It tells you whether it's fragrant, and it tells you whether it's a diploid or tetraploid, and all these sort of things. And getting back to the fragrance thing, one of the best fragrant lilies was Hyperion, which is a very old one, and there's a newer one called Hyperion Supreme, which the first time I seen it, I could smell it from about 30-40 feet away from where the plant was, and it was a large clump of it, and it's a very good fragrance. And if you walk around your daylilies at night, you'll notice the fragrance too, especially on the nocturnal ones. Like I mentioned Bazinga before, that's one that opens about 9 o'clock at night. And if you walk outdoors at 10, 11 o'clock at night, and you walk near that, you're going to get a very pleasant fragrance. It's almost like perfume, like you would get from phlox or from a true lily. Daylilies have fragrances too, and they vary. There's some that smell like different types of fruits, and there's... Mm-hmm.
And then there's perfumes.
Yeah.
They smell like perfume, yeah. Rosemary?
Yeah, there's another thing that's on that label that I think is really important that we bring up, and that is there are some flowers, some daylilies that bloom very early. We call them early. There's mm-hmm. some that bloom early in the daylily season, early mid-season, mid-late, and late, and very late. And those are all on the tags of the plants, and they're also on the picture page. There, it will tell you, so you can plan your purchases so that they're going to bloom at different times.
And I see that, although the mine tend to bloom, more of them bloom, I mean, there's a few in them early, and then there's a kind of a big bunch of them in the middle, and then a few less near the end. I mean, yeah, that's pretty typical, mm-hmm. yeah. And right, the photos on the Facebook page of mine, is just, most of them are right in flower. It was really, I get a lot of compliments, actually. People come by and say, man, you really got some colorful flowers here. And I enjoy that. It's nice to have somebody, nice to be complimented on that. Kathy in Eau Claire, hi.
Hi.
What can we do for you?
I have a mushroom that's growing out of my daylilies, and it's about 6 inches tall, maybe a diameter of an inch and a half. It's white on the bottom, and then it has this green cap on the top. Do you know what that is and what I should do with it?
It's, yeah.
You probably are getting mushrooms because you're using wood bark or wood mulch.
Yes.
And again, I'm not a mushroom person, so it could be one of probably 1,000 different types of mushrooms.
It's probably one. I mean, I wouldn't worry about it.
They're just so odd looking. I'd never seen one before.
If you want to, if you want to eliminate them or just take them out, I mean, I wouldn't eat them, but unless I
no, I'm not going to.
But you can just leave them there for interest, or take them out. I don't think it's not going to have any impact on the daylily.
Okay, thank you.
Yep, thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate it. And open line for you at 1-800-642-1234. Give us a call with your questions or comments. Tom on Facebook wonders, when is it a good time to fertilize daylilies, or should you fertilize them, and what type works best? So let's start first is, should you fertilize daylilies?
Absolutely.
Yeah?
Absolutely. We fertilize our whole garden in the fall with a timed-release fertilizer.
In the fall?
In the fall. After we've cleaned up everything, we go around the yard and fertilize with the timed-release fertilizer. But the only time we fertilize, but we do absolutely every year do that.
Okay. And do you do it the same way, Lloyd?
Well, to be honest, I don't fertilize enough in my yard. But what Rosemary is saying, I agree with 100% because, like I said before, the fall is what determines your bloom for the next year. And when you fertilize at this time of the year and get your plants very healthy to get through the winter, that will so much improve your bloom time next year.
And so when you're doing it, of course, like, for example, my own my own plants, I don't know if we can even see mine. You can't really tell, but there's mulch in there, and so do you pull the mulch away and or do you just put it on top of the mulch?
Right over the top, and the rain will wash and the snow.
We'll work it down.
Absolutely.
Okay, so it's not a lot. It's not as much work as I thought. I've added in spring, and then in spring of course, it's a little more open, and you can drop it in then. But I'll do it this fall.
Oh,
and would you use like a 10-10-10 or a 10? What's the nitrogen? High nitrogen or?
Yeah, we have people that use probably like a 10-10-10 would be good. That's kind of an all-purpose general, and it would probably be good for all the other plants you have around them. Certain plants like irises, like higher phosphorus, super phosphate, especially after bloom time, that will improve their either rebloom in the fall or the bloom for the following year. But if you use it more of a general one, it's probably going to be fairly good for all the other plants that you might have in your perennial border. And some people use Miracle-Gro and the foliar feeding.
Mm-hmm.
That works.
Can do that in the fall as well, or Probably not, huh?
That would probably be good to do in the spring before bloom time.
Miracle-Gro is not as, it needs to be repeated frequently. Mm-hmm. And I hope I can talk just a brand name, but Osmocote is a very good timed release fertilizer. Very good.
Osmocote.
Osmocote.
Okay.
Yeah.
There you go. Well, we have quite a few people online with comments. Oh, Mary in Green Bay emailed and said that, Rosemary, you mentioned a daylily photo contest. Any more details? I think you have to be a member. Do you have to be a member of the society in order to do that?
It's a contest among the members of our daylily club.
How do you become a member, by the way?
Fill out an application and give us a little bit of money, $8 for a family membership, and come to the sale and we'll show you how.
Yeah, and you're also, you have a site on, you're online,
we
too.
We have a website, WisconsinDaylilySociety.org.
And as a matter of fact, I think we've got a link to it on our Facebook page. I'm just kind of trying to look now, but of course I can't. I'm right-handed, and I'm trying to do something with this mouth with my left hand, and I'm not seeing it, but I think we have a link
it's
to it.
It's the whole thing, WisconsinDaylilySociety.org.
Let's go to Deborah in Sturtevant next. Deborah, hi. Thank you for calling.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. I have a brick flower box across the front of my house, and it's probably 25 feet wide by a foot and a half wide, and then about a foot of soil in it. What daylilies would do well in there that wouldn't freeze out on me over winter?
Now, are those, is this up on the side of the house, or is it in the ground, or?
Well, it's like a half wall in the front of the house, attached to the house.
Okay.
It's got a flower box in it.
I see. Okay, so, yeah. You'd have a tough time, I think. Now, with a setup like that, I'd be tempted to put some straw or bales or something in front to maybe try and see if you can get it to overwinter. But
I've had a couple overwinter, but they've more recently started dying off on me.
Yeah. What do you think, Lloyd?
Well, especially the last couple of winters that we had, two winters ago for sure.
That was
things
bad.
In pots would have died for sure. I actually left a couple of them in pots that I had up against the house, and they actually, a couple of them did winter over, but I had put mulch around the pots to keep them from you know, totally freezing. Like, they probably still were frozen like a brick, but it still gave them some kind of protection. Daylilies in pots over winter is not a good thing.
Yeah. So you can try to, I mean, if you want to experiment, I mean, you've had a couple stay over, and I mean, it's right up against the house. If you don't mind putting some bales or other sort of insulation in front of it, you might be able to get them to stay over winter. Last winter wasn't so bad. Last winter was fairly, you know, for most of the state, it wasn't nearly as severe as the winter before.
Yeah, it's not something I would do as a habit, but it was a case that I had dug some things out to plant some new things and wasn't sure whether I wanted to get rid of the ones I dug up, and I put them in pots temporarily and they just got left there. But I would certainly not recommend that people put daylilies in pots over winter.
Thank you again for that call, Deborah. Sue called and didn't want to hang on, but wondered if at the sale, can she pay with a check or credit card, or is it cash only?
Everything. We will take checks, cash, or credit card.
Okay, so no problems there. I think I used a credit card when I was the last time I bought. So, and then we have Judy and DePere up next. Judy, hi.
Hi.
What's on your mind?
Well, I wondered, about 8 years ago, we moved some ditch lilies and planted them along the side of our south side of our house, and that's all I have in there. And now, 8 years later, they were orange. Some are yellow, and some are the rust with the yellow or the deep yellow centers. How has this happened?
What happened, Lloyd?
That's a good question. I would imagine that somehow something went to seed in there, because the plants don't generally, what you're talking about, it could have been a spore, but that would be highly unusual where a plant actually changes form. It's possible in a lot of different types of plants that they can spore, but my best guess is that somehow there were some seeds that got in there and eventually grew the yellow and the rust color, whatever different colors of daylilies that you had.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. Thanks a lot, Judy, for calling. I appreciate it. We have Missy on Facebook wondering, is there a good daylily for the front of a house where snow from the street might get on them? I don't know. I've got some from your sale that I've got right next to the street. They're like 4 feet from the street, so they get snow all winter and they come back. So I don't
know of anything in particular. Ours, we've got one daylily in the front that's called Stella's Ruffled Fingers, and it's maybe 6 feet from the street. The rest of ours are all in the backyard.
They're in the backyard.
So they don't get snow.
I'm sure salt is not a good thing for daylilies or other flower, but daylilies are very forgiving. They will take an awful lot of abuse, probably more than a lot of other types of plants that you might have in your perennial border.
Yeah, take a look at the daylilies. You can see on mine, you can see where the street is and where the sidewalk is. And I'm telling you, they're covered with snow in the wintertime from the sidewalk, because I usually wind up shoveling on the pile of a lot of the snow gets piled right on top of them. So it's something that's worked well for me anyway. If you daylilies can take the photo of mine shows partial. They're in the shade right there, so daylilies can take partial shade. Rosemary.
Yes, they can. The more sun they get, the better. But they can take some shade. If they don't do well in the shade where you've got them, move them to a different spot. But we've got them growing in shade.
Margon lily, is that a daylily?
Martagon lily is a lilium. These are Hemericallis. They're different species altogether. A martagon lily is a lily that grows well in the shade.
Okay.
But it is a lily. It comes from a bulb.
Okay, so it's not a daylily.
No, it is not a daylily.
And somebody else wondered, well, how do you actually divide them? Do you just take a spade and cut it down the middle, or what do you do?
Oh, we have several different methods, but for the most part, you dig the clump up, and if it's a huge clump, probably the most drastic thing is to take and stick two pitchforks in them back to back, mm-hmm. and then push the handles together, which will separate the plants. And there's probably very few clumps that we have at the sale that we actually have to use that method for. We also have some smaller tools that will push down between the roots and work sort of like the same method as with the two forks, but only on a smaller scale.
Mm-hmm.
And some of us use like short nose scissors,
all kinds of ways to do it.
If you go out from table to table at our dividing tables, everybody has their own method.
And here we are. Yeah, they all work. And here we are. The sale is tomorrow from 10 to 4, and then Sunday from 11 to 3 at Olbrich Botanical Gardens on Madison's East Side. And a big thanks to Rosemary Kleinites and Lloyd Reveille for being with us. And thanks for listening. Stay with us.